Monday, May 27, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back again this week to discuss the world of sports with a dose of common sense, which we desperately seem to need more and more these days. Hey, happy Monday to you, and more than anything, happy Memorial Day to you. Hopefully, you got the day off from work, but if you didn't, we still have something for you today as we are going to be looking back at some Daily Dose memories. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite part of the Daily Dose from the past. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. You can contact us over there because maybe you have a question, maybe you have a suggestion, maybe you have a comment for us. Reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Make sure and pick up some of that Daily Dose gear you know you need in your life. Hey, today on the show, we do have something a little bit different for you. We are actually flashing back to a previous episode of the Daily Dose. And on this episode, the 2015 NBA Finals were underway between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. And Cleveland actually had an early 2-0 lead, but we saw that change a little bit in Game 3. And we discuss which is better, the NBA or the NHL Finals. And we even have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a throwback episode of the Daily Dose. Wednesday, June 10th, 2015, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit different of an outlook than you're going to get anywhere else on the world of sports. You know, it's not the same nonsense that you find on all the major networks and shows. I realize there's a ton of shows out there. There's a million podcasts out there. There's a lot of different things out there that you can watch, you can listen to. If you want, something a little bit different, if you pride yourself on being a little bit more informed than the average sports fan, you need to tune into the Daily Dose. We're going to give you a little bit of insight. We're going to give you some different things than you find anywhere else. Stick around. You know, the great thing about this podcast, and the great thing, you know, again, this goes back to the days when it was just the Daily Dose radio show, and we had the show back in the day. The great thing about it is I have really smart listeners. I have listeners that are a little bit more informed. If you're looking for that type of sports talk, that is the, hey, first time, long time, how's LeBron gonna do tonight? I'll just hang up and listen. No. That's not us. That's not here. That's not what we do. But if you want a little bit more insight, if you want to look at the games, that we're watching a little bit differently and take a little bit different angle on some of these stories that are out there, you're going to like this show. Today on the show, we're going to be recapping the NBA Finals. Huge game in the NBA Finals last night. Want to talk about that? Want to talk about which direction the final seems to be going. Gonna talk a little bit of NHL hockey and the Stanley Cup final that is going on right now because that has been a very entertaining series. And you know what I want to look at? I want to look at which is better. Is the NBA finals better? Is the NHL Stanley Cup final better? Want to compare those two a little bit. Especially in this season. Especially in this year. Cause I feel like both of these series are really entertaining right now. We have some really good stuff going on right now. And as usual, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. If you haven't heard the Daily Dose Top 5, you want to stick around because you never know where it's going to go. It has a mind of its own. It goes off on its own. And we go a lot of different directions when we have the Daily Dose Top 5. You will definitely want to stick around for that. We have a few things coming out breaking news wise. Of course, the big news last night was that the Cleveland Cavaliers found a way to hold off again and beat Golden State Warriors in their series, best of seven. And the Cavs find a way to win. It wasn't pretty. Again, we had the game last night. Like I said, Cleveland hung on. It wasn't necessarily pretty. So now we have an idea of, we have this series like figured out, right? Cavs are up 2-1. They're in control. LeBron James is just too good, and they have figured out how to shut down that Warriors offense. Be physical with them, push them around, and that is going to be enough to get it done. You don't have to score many points, and you can eke out these victories. They're not necessarily pretty, but they're effective. So you're going to hear a lot of people telling you today, we have this series figured out. This series is over because Cleveland just keeps dictating in the games what's going to happen. And that's how this is going to go. They're going to win this next game. They're going to, you know, be able to win one or two down the road and the series is over. Except I'm not exactly sure. Because let's be honest. Cleveland could be up 3-0. they could also be down 0-3 real easy. I mean, the Cavs were up 20 last night. But then it got kind of interesting. And I can't figure out these games from one quarter to the next, let alone from one game to the next. I mean, think about this series. Think of how this series has gone. Game one, Cavs played pretty well. And the Warriors were okay. They weren't great. But LeBron goes for 44. And Kyrie fractured that kneecap or whatever he did. I don't know how you fracture the kneecap on a play when you don't actually hit the kneecap. I know they said, well, he hit it somewhere, but I don't know exactly how that works. And let's get one thing clear. It wasn't from too many minutes. I heard some people, you know, blaming part-time assistant coach David Blatt, because we all know LeBron is the coach. But it wasn't from too many minutes. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I mean, and let's be real clear. Kyrie Irving has been hurt every single year he's ever played, going back to high school. So it's not anything new. He's always hurt. And I'm not necessarily doubting his toughness entirely. But there are some questions about Kyrie Irving, I think, as far as can he ever stay healthy. But, you know, in that game one, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry go for 46 combined, and somehow Golden State finds a way to win in overtime. Kind of ugly. And we started to hear, you know, the people talking and saying things. Well, LeBron missed three shots, you know, in crunch time. He had two turnovers in overtime when it mattered the most. And the Warriors just have too much depth. They're just wearing them down. And Cleveland's just running out of people. LeBron has somehow carried this horrible team to the playoffs and got them this far. But it just looks like the Warriors have too much depth. Now, remember what I told you last week. And I know when I said it, that a lot of you are going, dude, you might be crazy. You might be out of your mind. But I told you last week, the Cavaliers are better defensively without Kyrie Irving. They're better defensively without Kevin Love. So we sit here and we look at, well, yeah, those two guys are out. And yes, they would help offensively. But defensively, they're both liabilities. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, yeah, but did you see in game one, did you see those two great blocks that Kyrie Irving had? He had the block on Steph Curry. I mean, he was flying around. He was playing better defense than we've ever seen. Yeah, he was. And you know what else I saw? I saw Golden State shooters with a little bit more time to get their feet set. I saw Steph Curry not being as out-physicaled as he's being pushed around right now. And after allowing 108 points with Kyrie in game one, the Cavaliers have now allowed 93 and 91. Do they struggle to score? Of course they do. They're struggling like crazy to score. LeBron's having to go out and get 40 a night, every night. If he doesn't, they're going to be in trouble. And then they're just trying to find other guys just to kind of chip in here and there. But, you know, they weren't going to outscore Golden State anyways. So maybe it's less offense. You know, these long possessions that they have. If you notice, Cleveland's running the shot clock down to, you know, nothing and then taking these shots. And more defense. It's working somehow. And the Warriors, let's look at one thing real clear about the Warriors. We've looked at this team kind of all season and we kind of thought, you know, they're a jump shooting team. They're going to struggle at some point. They have struggled at times, but they are trying to figure out how to win a championship. They've never done it. In fact, no one's really done it in this series except LeBron James. And a little bit of Mike Miller. And I don't know if Mike Miller really has done it, but he's been involved in it and has at least watched it real close. Isn't it a little bit weird? I do find it a little bit odd. When you watch LeBron James come out of games, he doesn't really go to David Blatt. He goes straight to Mike Miller. And I don't know if it's a trust thing and he's just picking his brain, but he goes over to Mike Miller and you can almost see him saying, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? What should we change? What should we adjust? Not his coach. Not his coach. He goes right to Mike Miller. The Warriors were down by 17 going into the fourth quarter. And I thought, and I might be wrong. I might be completely wrong. And if you asked him, he might not say this. But I thought I saw Steve Kerr challenge Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I thought I saw, and maybe I'm wrong, like I said, I thought I saw him kind of pointing at them. And kind of getting in their face. And I don't think it was anything, you know, real outright where he was like screaming at him. It wasn't that. But I thought I saw him kind of challenge them and say, stop feeling sorry for yourselves and start playing. Start playing together. Stop going out on your own and doing your own thing. Go out and start working harder at both ends of the floor because you guys are pouting and you're feeling sorry for yourselves. Some of those pouty characteristics started to change a little bit. They were down by 20 in the third quarter. They cut it to three. It was a one possession game with 2:27 left in the fourth quarter. Now, did the Warriors learn anything? I don't know. But I started to see more energy in that fourth quarter without the ball. And I know that they're that team that when they're down 20, they almost have that mentality of, yeah, but we can get back in this in the fourth quarter. We're going to get going. But I started to see a little bit more of a toughness, I guess, from them. You know, when I watched Steph Curry, and we talked about Steph Curry a couple weeks ago, started to see him have more energy off the ball last night, though, in the fourth quarter. And Klay Thompson started to get more aggressive when he got the ball. Not necessarily the threes, but sometimes just the shot fake at the three and going to the basket. Started to see more of that. We saw David Lee, kind of forgotten in this whole series, is David Lee, who stepped up last night and gave Golden State a little bit of a presence inside. I told you, I think Andrew Bogut has been pouting most of the series. He doesn't play hard all the time. But David Lee stepped in, and you could feel it kind of being contagious. Lee scores 11 points, has 4 rebounds, was a plus 17 on the floor in just 13 minutes. Now, like I said, you're going to hear a lot about this series is over, and maybe it is, but I thought I saw some changes last night that might make me think Golden State might have figured some things out. Remember, they were down 2-1 to Memphis, and they figured some things out and won 3 in a row and closed the series out in 6. I don't know if this is the same situation. Golden State struggles a little bit with the physicality. We've seen that. Can they step up and figure some things out? We've still got to play with energy. We can't feel sorry for ourselves. I thought I saw some of that. We'll see if this goes forward. I told you I picked Golden State in 6. Right now, I'll stick with that. I'll see if that still happens. I'm going to stick with that. I think they might have figured some things out. And I'm not saying everything's rosy. This next game coming up on Thursday night, tomorrow night, is huge for Golden State. You cannot afford to go down 3-1. You go down 3-1, it's going to be very, very tough to win 3 out of 4 against a team that somehow, it's kind of ugly, but Cleveland Cavaliers are getting it done when they need to. And LeBron James has been absolutely spectacular. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, they're in the final now. It has been a very entertaining series. And the crazy part about it, Tampa has led 92 minutes out of the 98 that they have played. But they're up just 2-1. And you know, Chicago Blackhawks, we know, very resilient. It seems like about the time you start to count them out, they somehow find a way to manage to get back into it and get going again. You know, neither Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane have scored yet. You have to feel like that's coming eventually, isn't it? That's going to get going eventually, you would have to think. I mean, to be fair, on the other side, you know, with Tampa, Steven Stamkos hasn't had any goals either. So I guess, you know, they feel like they probably have, you know, some more scoring coming from him. But don't be surprised at all if we see Chicago bounce back. Tampa is the young team. They're maybe a little bit more talented, but, sometimes that experience and that veteran, kind of savvy that Chicago has, may just pay off for them, and they know how to win. They know how to win, and there's something to be said for that. That's what we're seeing in the NBA right now. LeBron James, he knows how to win. He knows when the game is on the line, we have to get this stop. We have to get this possession. We have to get a rebound here. It seems like same thing with Chicago. They know when their backs are against the wall, they always seem like they come out and they just find ways. Now, I want to ask you a question. You know, which is better? Which is better? We posted an article. You can go over and check it out. DailyDoseSports.wordpress.com. You can check it out. I posted an article. Which is better? NBA playoffs, NBA finals, or the NHL final? Which one do you think is better? And like I said, we have some smart listeners. We have some people out there that understand sports maybe a little bit better than on some of the other shows that are out there. But when I look at it, especially this year, because I think this year we're seeing two really, really good sets of finals. I think they've both been so entertaining. Both of them are kind of must-see TV. You are seeing excellent finishes, pretty good play, not always great play, but pretty good play. And, you know, I posted the article yesterday. I heard from some people on Twitter. I heard from some people on email. NBA fans are pointing at the TV ratings. Saying, you know, look at all the people that watch. NHL fans are pointing at the excitement and the drama on every single shift. There's a feeling in these buildings that, every single shift, who knows what could happen. I mean, you are living and dying on every single shift. I wanted to take a look at just a little bit. I want to give you a couple thoughts, and I don't want to rewrite the article. I already did that once, but I want to give you a couple thoughts because when we look at the two teams, that are playing on either side. You've got Golden State. You've got the Cleveland Cavaliers. On the hockey side, you've got Chicago versus Tampa. And I think both of these are great matchups because they both have kind of clashing styles. You know, Golden State wants to get out and run. They want to shoot, you know, from the outside. They want to put a lot of shots up. Cleveland is exactly the opposite. They want to go out and limit what you get. They want to take their time offensively. They want to play a slow it down defensive kind of game. It totally clashing styles, but it makes for interesting, you know, the matchup kind of dictates how good the series is, and it makes for very, very interesting matchups. Same thing a little bit on the Chicago side, on the NHL side. Chicago's not quite the slow it down team, but make no mistake, Tampa wants to get up and down as much as they can. Chicago's not quite at that level. They'll slow it down a little bit, and they want to see if they can get their you know, scorers some opportunities. The great thing about the NHL game is that you're seeing a lot of up and down. There are times that you're seeing 3 and 4 minutes without any kind of stoppage. When I look at just the teams that are in it, it is really, really close. There's some great matchups that we're watching this year. One thing I want to look at a little bit, when I look at the TV coverage of both of these, because there's advantages and disadvantages for both sides. On the NBA side, you're on ABC. You're on a big network. We know where to find you. You can turn it on. You've got the three-man booth kind of going. You've got Mike Breen, who I think is very, very good. You've got Mark Jackson, who is also there. And then you've got Jeff Van Gundy, again, sometimes, who is also there. Do you ever kind of feel like watching this series that Mark Jackson is looking a little bit and going, yeah, Golden State sure looks good. I mean, they, you know, looked good last year too. You kind of feel like he's just like, I mean, he was Golden State's coach just a year ago and then got fired and ended up having to go to the booth. Don't you just kind of get the feeling that he's kind of like, yeah, you guys would be better if maybe you had another coach, or maybe, you know, the guy you had last year, he was pretty good. And then you have Jeff Van Gundy, who I think he has some insight. I think he has some things to say, but sometimes some of the things that come out of his mouth, I'm a little bit stunned at. I'm going to talk about the officiating in a minute, but there was a play last week where I think it was Mozgov got the ball in the paint and he shuffled his feet. He took kind of a two step and then he pivoted and then he hopped. And it was literally like five steps. And Jeff Van Gundy had the gall to say, that's not an NBA travel. Really? What is an NBA travel? Six steps? Seven steps? Eight? At what point do we say, no, that actually was a travel? I guess I don't know your gauge. If five isn't a travel, then I don't know exactly what counts as a travel. It's a little bit weird to me. And like I said, I want to talk about the officiating in just a minute, but it's a little bit strange to me that we would look at things and say, now in Little League or in middle school or in high school or maybe even in college, that would be a travel. But here in the NBA, at the utmost level, at the highest level you could possibly play at, you don't have to follow the rules. Those other clowns, the lower levels, they got to follow the rules, but you don't have to follow the rules because you're the greatest players in the world. Shouldn't we kind of hold you to a stricter standard? Shouldn't you kind of be expected to follow the rules even more so because you're supposed to be the best in the business? It's a little bit odd to me. Now, on the other side, we have the NHL, and I've told you before, I struggle with the NHL because I can't find the games half the time. Sometimes they're on NBC. I think tonight it's on NBCSN or something, whatever that is. Some nights it's on VH1, some nights it's on the Cartoon Network. I don't know. The announcers, the TV coverage itself, Doc Emmerich and Pierre McGuire are phenomenal. Doc Emmerich is probably the best sports announcer maybe in the business. He is so good at painting a picture. And if you're someone that doesn't tune into NHL because you sit there and say, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Just listen to Doc Emmerich. His ability not only to paint a picture and tell you what's going on, but somehow to pronounce all these names right in the amount of time that he does it is amazing. And I cannot explain this enough. As someone who does some writing, as someone who writes and is often going to the thesaurus, to hear Doc Emmerich's ability on the fly to describe the exact same play 50,000 different ways is amazing to me. Just listen. And again, if you're not an NHL fan, just turn it on and listen to how many different words Doc Emmerich has for the word pass. He passes it to so-and-so. He scoots it to so-and-so. He shuffles it to so-and-so. He has a million words for that word. It is absolutely amazing. Doc Emmerich is legitimately one of the best in the business anywhere. I would give a little bit of an advantage to the NHL. I know Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, they're not horrible. They're not the worst I've ever heard, but sometimes they say some things that I'm shocked at. And there are times that they'll look at the game and a little bit, I'm going, are you watching the same game I'm watching? Because some of the stuff that I see is a little bit surprising that you're not calling certain players or certain coaches or certain instances out. I don't know. Sometimes I don't get that crew exactly. Speaking of the officiating, the NBA officials are right at the top of the list of worst officials in the game. And this isn't this year, and this isn't this year. This is consistently. They miss so many calls, and they are so inconsistent with what they call. I don't have any idea as a player or as a coach. I don't know how do you deal with the NBA officiating. It is so bizarre to me. I can't make sense of it even. I know basketball in general, because it's a constant sport. In the NBA, the inconsistencies, I can't figure out half the time what they're calling. There was a play last night. And maybe this is just me. There was a play last night where Steph Curry was dribbling the ball. It was late in the game. And Steph Curry dribbles the ball across half court. And LeBron James just kind of dives into him, takes him out, and the ball gets loose. And we heard, there was no call. We heard the announcers, we heard Van Gundy and Jackson kind of praising the efforts of LeBron James. And I understand the effort of LeBron James. He hustled back, he hurried back. But Steph is dribbling the ball. It's not like the ball was uncontrolled. That's absolutely a foul. No foul called. And there was no mention of a foul being called. It's a little bit strange to me. Like I said before, I'll see some of the travels that go on in the NBA. And I'm not saying just one player or one guy. It's a bunch of different guys. And none of it's called. And I can't figure out as an official, well, that was three, so that's not really called. Or that. And I know this goes back even to the days of like Karl Malone. He would always kind of shuffle his feet and get away with it. There are times, I think it was in game one, LeBron James took the ball and literally walked up the court 1, 2, 3 steps and never put the ball on the floor. He's just walking down the floor, just daring someone to call it. And they don't call it. There is a clip, you can go find it on YouTube. I believe it's of Dwayne Wade. And I think he takes 7 steps without a dribble. 7. I don't know that it's necessarily biased one way or the other. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just so inconsistent. Like I said, on the NHL side, I barely notice the officiating. Every once in a while, you'll see a call here or there that you're like, they may have got that wrong, or they might have, but it's not so blatant as the NBA. The NBA is horribly officiated. No question about that. The games themselves, over on the NBA side, great finishes. One beef I do have, especially with the NBA, is there are way too many timeouts. Oh my goodness. There are so many timeouts. We are stretching this out and stretching this out. Last night, what do they each have? 37 timeouts each? And then you have the TV timeout. And then you have another timeout. And then you have a TV timeout. And then they take a timeout. And then you have a TV. I'm going, oh my goodness. They haven't, this game should be over. And we still have a fourth quarter to go. Way too many timeouts. And the problem is it makes it choppy. As a viewer, I'm sometimes getting ready to get up and walk away because I'm like, man, you guys haven't been playing for 20 minutes here. On the NHL side, there are times that you have a little bit of timeout here or there, but it's not like that. There are a lot of face-offs, but there's not nearly as much choppiness to it with all the timeouts. I do give the NHL a little bit of an advantage about that. Both of these series and both of these finals have been great. They have been really, really entertaining to watch. I'm going to give a little bit of an advantage to the NHL. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Daily Dose Top 5, I've told you, it has a mind of its own. It can go a number of different ways. We get on a number of different subjects. You'd never know. And this week is no exception. Let me ask you a question, listener. We have smart listeners. I would like to know, are you cheering for LeBron James? Are you cheering for him? And I'm not talking about, are you cheering for Cleveland? I understand. Being here in Denver, I have seen a victory snatched from the jaws of Cleveland a number of times. But are you cheering for LeBron? Not the city, not the town. Are you cheering for LeBron? Because there are a number of fans who do not like LeBron James. He is a polarizing figure. You either are watching because you love him or you watch him because you hate him. Very, very polarizing. Make no mistake. And I'm going to go through this list here. And our list is the top five reasons so many fans do not like LeBron James. Now, I'm going to make a confession to you. Growing up as a kid here in Denver, we obviously, basketball-wise, we had the Nuggets. And I've been watching the Nuggets since back in the ABA days, before the NBA, before we were members of the NBA. But you would watch these other teams, you know, you're watching the Lakers and you're watching the Celtics. And I would watch the Celtics, especially, you know, Boston, they had their success in the 80s and that kind of thing. And I watched, you know, Larry Bird. Larry Bird is a phenomenal player. But I'm going to be real honest. I'll be transparent about this. Growing up as a kid, I couldn't stand Larry Bird. I hated Larry Bird. I mean, I have gone back now and watching what he does, and I watched him a lot, but going back and just have an appreciation of the game that he played, because he was such a phenomenal player. He had such a head for the game, and physically, he didn't have all these tools. He certainly didn't have the tools that LeBron had, and he had such a high basketball IQ that he was capable of playing at the highest level. He was capable of making, finding ways to beat you again and again and again and again. And again, he had size, but he didn't have a lot of physical tools. Couldn't jump, couldn't run. But I didn't really appreciate what he did on the basketball floor. And it took me years to go back and say, yeah, you know, he's a phenomenal player. I hated him as a kid. I couldn't stand him. I would go so far. Sometimes I would even cheer a little bit for the Lakers over the Celtics, because I was just so sick of that Celtics team. I couldn't stand him, and the Boston fans, and sick of Bird and McHale and all. I couldn't stand it. You might hate LeBron James. Don't fail to appreciate the greatness of LeBron James. He is a phenomenal player. He is an amazing player, and he is one of the greats ever. Do I put him on my Mount Rushmore? Not yet. But this is still a long going process. He's still playing. He's still participating in games. It's not like Magic and Larry and Michael who are done. We've still got to watch him evolve as a player. And he still has a long ways to go. Appreciate what he does. Appreciate what he brings to the game. But I'm going to give you the top five reasons so many fans do not like LeBron James. Number five on our list. And these are rated in order of importance. Number five on the list. The decision, part two. Because he was in Miami, but then he decided, I'm going home. And what a great guy. He's going to go home. He's going to bring it back to the city that he's from. He's going to go back to Cleveland and try to win them a championship. Yeah, except that it was only because Miami had been run completely into the ground and he didn't have anybody to play with. Bosh was hurt, banged up. Dwayne Wade looks like he's kind of getting to the point at the end of his career. And LeBron looked at the situation and said, hey, I want to go somewhere I can win. So I'll go back there. They've got Kyrie. They've got a number one pick. They can probably move some things around. We can probably put together at least a core group of a team. And I'm going to be more competitive in Cleveland than I would be in Miami. And spin it however you want. There are a number of fans who look at that and say, man, you just jump wherever you can have help. You don't just say, well, hey, I'm in Cleveland. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm in Miami. I'm going to find a way. Yes, we're giving him a ton of credit now. But let's be real clear. He jumped because he thought it was an easier opportunity to go to Cleveland. The decision part two. I'm not saying all these reasons are right. I'm just explaining them. Don't hate me. Number four on our list of why so many people hate LeBron James. He's just overcovered. We get LeBron James jammed down our throat. ESPN could seriously name themselves the LeBron James Network. They blow him up constantly. And we can't just watch and enjoy what he does. Even last night, with the game that went on last night, phenomenal game. LeBron goes out and has another 40. We can't just sit there and say, hey, amazing game. He found a way to win. He got it done. We have to be told constantly, constantly, how great he is. He's better than Michael. He's better than Bird. He's better than Magic. He's better than Abraham Lincoln, Alexander the Great. He's better than Jesus. Can we just watch the man play? Do we have to get that shoved down our throat all the time? Oh, he's a more complete player. He's a better rebounder. He's a better passer. He's a better defender. I want to just go over some stats real quick. Real quick. Because we keep hearing he's so much better of a passer and rebounder and defender than Michael ever was. Points wise, of course, Jordan is a little bit higher. For his career, Jordan was at 31.5. LeBron was at 27.3. But then, you know, the assists, Jordan was at almost 5.5. LeBron's at 7. It's not that big of a difference. It's not that huge. Rebounding wise, Jordan was at 6.3, LeBron's at 7.1. Against 0.8, we're talking about this huge gap. It's 0.8. And in steals, Michael averaged 2.5 steals and LeBron averages 1.7 steals a game. But here's the difference, and this will always be the difference with me. And people will say, well, could Michael have really led this team from the Cavaliers? Well, he led a horrible franchise in the Bulls. People look at the Bulls and say, well, yeah, they won six. They were garbage when he went there. They were the laughingstock of the NBA when they went there. Michael won six rings. And make no mistake about this. Michael could have won eight rings if he wanted to. He chose not to. He left for 2 years to basically go goof off and play baseball. But he could have won eight. So you can take LeBron and his more complete game and his more rebounds, his 1.5 more assists and his 0.8, rebounds more, but I'll stick with Michael and I'll take the six rings and eight if I really want them. So I think there's a lot of people that, because we just get LeBron shoved down our throat, oh, he's the best ever. Is he the greatest ever? Let's do a special on LeBron. Let's have another LeBron insight look. We just get sick of it. Number three on our list of why so many people hate LeBron James. The decision part one. Left his hometown to go win in Miami. And the biggest thing that people look at when they see that Michael never joined up with Magic. He didn't get sick of getting beat in the East by the Celtics or by the Pistons. So he said, hey, Larry, I'm going to come play with you instead. Isaiah, I'm going to come join your team. He didn't do that. He found a way to win. He won on his own. And everybody says, well, he had Pippen. Understand this. Jordan made Pippen. Everybody, well, yeah, but Pippen's one of the 50th. Yeah, that's because he played with Michael. That's why he's on the top 50. Because when he came in, he was this little scrawny punk from Central Arkansas who had no idea even how to play the game. If you think he would have been that same player playing with maybe Isaiah or somebody else, you're kidding yourself. He is one of the all-time greats because he played with Michael and Michael made him raise his game. Let me give you just a brief story. Pippen, they were playing the Pistons and every year they're getting knocked out. And in the one game, a very, very pivotal game, it ended up eliminating them. Scottie Pippen had a headache. Migraine headache, had the towel over his head, couldn't play. I can't go. Tried to go out, was having problems with his vision, was having problems seeing, and the Bulls ended up getting knocked out. This is back in the early 90s. And everybody talked about it. Is Scottie too soft? Is he just not, that kind of gamer? Is he just not, he's just not Michael. He's not that guy that can just step up. He had the migraine. He's just, kind of the way they're talking about, like Kyrie Irving or something like that. He melts under pressure. The next season, they go out and they're playing the Pistons again. And one of the early games in the series, Scottie Pippen goes out and he's just horrible. He's just bad. Does not have a good game. Can't hit anything, not defending very well, just really, really struggling. And the game ends, the Bulls lose, and they walk out to the bus, and nobody wants to say anything. Nobody wants to anger Michael Jordan. Jordan is fierce. We've talked about what a competitor he was. You don't want to say anything. Everybody's on the bus sitting quietly, and everyone knows that MJ is just seething, just so angry that Scottie, again, another year, but same old Scottie, he lets us down at crunch time. Nobody says anything. They're sitting on the bus. Michael gets on the bus and everybody's kind of waiting. What's he going to say? Is he going to light into Scottie? Is he going to scream at everybody? You guys are soft. What's wrong with you? Michael gets on the bus and looks back at Scottie and just says, another headache, Scottie? That's all he said. People don't realize that the reason Scottie Pippen is one of the 50 greatest, if you believe that, I think that's probably a little bit overrated. That's just me. It was because Michael made him be that way. Don't get that confused. Some of the reason we hate LeBron James is he didn't always make his players. He went and said, hey, I'm just going to go find new players. I'm going to take my ball and I'm going to go somewhere else and I'm going to find different players to play. I'm going to go play with Dwayne Wade. He's way better than what I had back in Cleveland. He's way better than the guys that I drug to the finals that year. I'm going to go play with Chris Bosh. He understands. He can figure out how to play with me. I'm going to go play with him. He's way better than what I had in Cleveland. There are people that will never ever forget LeBron for not being able to raise teammates around him to a higher level and make them be great like MJ did with Scottie Pippen. Number two on the list, and this is my personal beef with LeBron, and this is just my own personal issue. I told you I look for body language a lot of times. It's the drama that goes with LeBron James. It's constant drama. He can't ever win a game, make a move, get fouled, have an injury without it just being this complete stage show. Everything is some like WWE drama. He's one of the most calculated people, and nothing ever looks authentic with him. It's never a twisted ankle. It's a fractured compound fracture, and he's falling down, and he's dying, and he's got to be taken. It's never a foul. It looks like he got hit with like sniper fire, like a little guard. Steph Curry will bump him, and he'll hit the ground, and oh, he's writhing in pain. I think that's one of my personal beefs with LeBron sometimes when I watch it. I'm like, dude, can't you just take a foul? Yeah, I got fouled and walked to the free throw line and hit him. He's got, oh, he falls down and he's holding his side and then he gets up and goes shit. For being the biggest and strongest, sometimes we hear he's the biggest, strongest NBA player ever. Sometimes you look a little bit, delicate. I mean, you shouldn't be knocked completely off your feet by 180-pound Steph Curry, but we see it constantly. When you win a game, like, there was like a game three game against Atlanta or whatever, earlier in this playoff run. And he's like laying on the floor and he's just, ah, we did it. We finally did it. Easy. You're not in the school play. Can you just get up and yeah, we beat the Hawks. We should beat the Hawks. We should sweep the Hawks. We expect this. There's a little bit too much drama. It's like he's acted every move out he's done in front of a mirror before he goes out and tries it out live on the floor. For me personally, I get a little tired of all the drama. That's just me. You know, reasons a lot of people can't stand LeBron James. And the number one reason why so many people do not like LeBron James, he's really good. He's really, really good. We wouldn't care if he was horrible. We wouldn't care if he lost. If he was losing all these games and he wasn't very good and he came in and showed up when he wanted to and some nights he had good nights and other nights he was very, very average, we would not care one bit. He would just be another Carmelo Anthony. He wouldn't even be on our radar. We wouldn't pay attention. One of the reasons we hate LeBron James is because he's really, really good and he wins.
Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, it really is appreciated. Hey, if you're not subscribed to The Daily Dose wherever you listen, please make sure you click that little follow or subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a safe and happy Memorial Day.